If you're a dog lover or if you have dogs, have you ever wondered why so many dogs are suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with dogs than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place where we can look to support any dog's health, and that's their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Now, Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And I actually love giving Mojo this as a topper. I feel good that there are no fillers, and it's also air dried. So that means it retains more nutrients. Mojo's usually pretty picky about what he eats, so I'm glad that he now enjoys every meal. And now you can treat your dogs to healthy, nutritious food. Go to badlandsfood.com/dateable and order right now to get up to 50% off your first regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com/dateable today.
The Dateable Podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Krafchik, as we explore this crazy dateable world.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Dateable Podcast, a show all about modern dating, modern romance, modern love, and how people sometimes can fuck up all of it. But we're here to help you navigate through it all. That is our mission in life. Someone asked me the other day, what's your mission with the Dateable Podcast? And I said, it's to help people fuck up less.
Hey, you know, I mean, a lot of things come down to that, right? If you look at dating, it doesn't have to be as hard as it is a lot of the times. A lot of times it's our own self getting in our own way.
We're always getting in our own way. And that is why our Finding Your Person program is there to help you get out of your own way. We created this program because we kept seeing the same patterns of behavior with every person we talked to who was having a hard time. They were stuck in their dating life, and we know exactly why they were getting stuck. That's why we created this program, because the better people can get at dating, the better our experience will be.
Absolutely. I think it's interesting because it really did take us doing this for 5 years, I think, to get to the point. I definitely mentioned this on an episode we did with Marty Batista back in the day. I think it was like season 9 or 10. I forget exactly where it was, but she actually was influential for my dating journey.
Yep.
Back in the day, she sent a USB scan drive in the mail. That's how I received it. This was so long ago. But it was, the core was, you know, similar, like, you know, breaking through what are the patterns, and then also like how to use the tools at your disposal. And honestly, so much has even changed since then. But I felt like doing something that like forced me to sit down and kind of get out of my comfort zone a little. And I think having that program at the time was so instrumental. And I'm really excited that we can do something similar. I kind of feel like we're like giving back all these years later.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a totally different twist. It's completely different. I mean, honestly, so much has changed even in those short years.
So much. Well, first of all, it's not on USB. It's all online.
Right. There's the change in itself.
Yeah. It's how it's delivered. But people have asked what is involved. If you're on the fence about this program, totally understand. And we launched this with early bird on Saturday. And then we release early bird on Sunday. And spots were filling up fast. So we know that people want this information. If you're on the fence and want to know what's involved, here it is. It's delivered in audio format, because that's what we do best, audio. It's almost 8 hours of material, really depending on how fast you go through the sessions. But you do you. Pace yourself. With each session comes an accompanying interactive workbook, so you can keep track. It's almost like journaling. Get all your thoughts out there, but also organized. And we have a shit ton of bonus material, which includes live sessions with Julie and I. We also have this secret group that we pull you into. We have all this dating setback toolbox kit, basically, for any time you get ghosted or any of the douchebag behavior, mm-hmm. you just refer back to that.
Dating profile checklist.
The dating profile checklist is our number one seller when we were doing coaching. It is everything you need to go through if you're trying to figure out how to have the best profile online. What should you put in your bio? How your photos should be? All of that. How you should be presenting yourself online. It's all there and it's extremely comprehensive. So that's just the gist of what just, what a funny word. That's just a gist of what you're getting with the finding.
Sounds kind of dirty.
It does, right? I don't know why I've never thought about that till just now. It was like the gist.
Juicy. Same thing.
But with the program, that is just a part of what you'll be getting. But there's also just so much more. Mm-hmm. Julie and I have gone through this by ourselves because we wanted to test it out. Mm-hmm. It truly worked for us. It has worked for some of our other members as well that unknowingly was part of our experiment of testing out what we call the positive refact method. It's a proprietary method that we've developed in the last 5 years.
Yeah. And I think that was the big piece, is that we knew that people tended to reflect so much that they never did anything. It was like the state of purgatory. It was like, just how do I become the best version of me and all that? And that's great. But there needs to be a point where some action comes in.
Yes.
And then we saw others just repeating the same things over and over again, or getting fed up by apps, for instance, and just repeating, uninstalling, reinstalling. And it's like the definition of insanity. So I think, like, for us, we really wanted to kind of figure out a way that we blend those two also with positivity, because we know that that's a key factor of just how do you maintain the positivity throughout this whole thing? Because, I mean, dating is tough. Like, no one's going to deny that. And I think, like, we'd be kind of ignorant to say that it's, there's, even doing this program, there's not going to be like any downs within it. But it's like, how do you get through it? How do you like maintain that positivity so you don't kind of give up hope? And, you know, the next person could be right around the corner.
This may sound really morbid, but someone told me this recently and I was like, yes. When you're on your deathbed, you're not thinking about your career accomplishments, how much money you made, the house that you lived in. Your last thoughts are always the human connections that you made in your lifetime and the most meaningful connections. And this is why we're putting so much emphasis on this program, because finding your person, whatever that may mean to you, is going to be one of the most important, impactful decisions of your life, and arguably maybe the most impactful. So it is so important for us to get this information out there to you all and to have you try this out, because it worked for us.
Yeah, I love the Sheryl Sandberg quote from Lean In that was like, the most important indicator of success in your career is your partner. Because ultimately, like, there's, you know, like, your day-to-day happiness, if you're with the right person, you can be so happy. And if you're with the wrong person, it can be the complete opposite. Like, there's studies that are single people are actually kind of in the middle. Like, the happiest people are people that are in happy, healthy relationships and marriages. Mm-hmm. But if you're in a bad relationship or a situationship or bad string of dates, whatever that may be, that's the area that's the most concerned. Almost.
It's so dangerous.
It is. So it's like, who you pick is so important, and knowing like what matters to you and knowing like when to even walk away is important in this process, because that always makes room for the right person. So we're going to go into all of that. I think another revelation I've had over the last year with our Facebook group is that I think I've used dating apps completely different than everyone else in that group. And I'm really excited to share some of the secrets and some of the tools that we've done that haven't made it as freaking painful and actually brought real relationships from dating apps. So I think like there's so much opportunity there, and I'm really excited to share that piece specifically.
And to make dating fun. That's
what it's tended
to be. You're trying to find a partner. That should be a fun thing. It shouldn't feel like you're doing your chores.
No. Ugh, it's so funny how like the words that are used to describe dating. And you know, I like the reflection too of you meeting your partner IRL and years later after meeting each other. I think that's so interesting that we bring that perspective with like myself meeting people more primarily on dating apps.
Yep. Yep. When you're being prepped to meet someone you're meant to meet, you're going to meet them somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to use every avenue because you never know when that person's going to turn the corner. You're like, there you are. I've been prepping myself for you and you have been doing the same. How nice.
And we announced this yesterday. We are actually hitting the upper limit of the people that we can have in the program. Mm-hmm. So we're actually going to be closing registration early, unfortunately. So you have until Friday at midnight PST. So definitely head to findingyourperson.com and grab your spot.
Yes.
It is like all warm and jittery talking about this, though. It's so nice.
Yeah, because if we can bring that kind of happiness to everyone, that kind of wholeness in a way, it would just, I think we can just be so fulfilled in what we do. Because that's our purpose with Dateable.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Like, I mean, I shared this in the Facebook group, but like this reflection of, I mean, I definitely was happy single. Like, I don't think I wasn't happy single. But I don't think I realized like the level of happiness that I could obtain with the right person.
Yeah. That is also related to this episode because in our program, we talk about building confidence. And for this episode, we are interviewing the queen of confidence. Yes. We're talking to Serena fucking Kerrigan. Has not legally changed her name, but she really should. But she is all about being unapologetically confident in who you are and kind of that take it or leave it mentality, which I love. It's so badass.
Absolutely. Like, as we're on the topic of mindset, I feel like she is such a good example of someone that, you know, completely shifts her mindset. And I think it's going to be really fun to build on this episode too in the program for whoever is in it with actual exercises and ways to do that because she demonstrates firsthand how important that is.
She's kind of like the North Star of confidence. And then in our program, we show you the steps to achieve that North Star because there's no way any of us can wake up tomorrow and be Serena fucking Kerrigan, but we can all aspire to be her in the future.
Yes, yes, we can.
Love her. Love this episode. She's just a firecracker.
She really is.
She's in my head every day. I just hear her voice.
Like, I know. And you all might know her. She did an Instagram dating show called Let's Fucking Date. And I feel like we got a lot of people sending us messages being like, you need to check this out with what this woman is doing because it hasn't been done before. And I mean, I love thinking about it too. It's like, just picture everyone's on their own dating show. Every time you're swiping, it's a dating show just for you where you're the star.
It's so empowering. It is absolutely empowering. Speaking of being on your own dating show, this is kind of related, Julie, but you know, just stay with me because you know how I get. Is I was at a friend's house recently. He's recently single. I'm going to shout him out right now. His name is Ben. Very eligible bachelor.
Ooh.
And I was thinking about bringing some single girls over just to hang out, you know, not like matchmaking. Also just to check up on him and see if he's doing well. And he's been on this reflection path recently. Okay. That's what happens after a breakup, right?
Oh, you reflect. Totally.
You're like, what did I do wrong? What could have been better? And he says something so provocative. And I said, I'm going to share this on Dateable because he's a runner.
Okay.
And he, at any given time when you're running, there's other people running on the path. And you sometimes, a lot of us get very judgmental. You know, we're like, why is this person running so fast? Or why are they running so slow? And why do they look like they're running kind of funny? And he experienced this recently because he was trying to do a long distance run. And his friend was making fun of him because he was paced so slow. And he said, this is how dating is. You never know where someone is on their journey. Mm-mm. And you can't judge them for that snapshot in time because you don't know if they're on this 20-mile marathon run or it's a 2-mile sprint or they are recovering from an injury or they're just starting to run. You don't know and you cannot say anything about just a snapshot. And that's what online dating sometimes is. We get a snapshot of someone's life.
Yep.
But you never know what someone's going through and what their journey is like. So he was saying how that helped him create more empathy towards, you know, getting back out there and dating again.
Absolutely. I think that's such a good way to put it because I mean, even, you know, as you're getting to know another human being, like there's been in some cases like 30 plus years that they've lived a life before you've gotten to know them. And it's such a fascinating thing of just two people coming together. And I think it's like finding the right person is, you know, first of all, finding them, but then also navigating through it when it's actually, once you found the person. I feel like that's like step one. And then the step two is how do you actually get through it with them? And like long term, is this the right person? And that's why, you know, sometimes like relationships can ebb and flow. Like sometimes, I don't know how long they were together.
7 years.
Wow. Yeah. Ooh. I mean, those are the things though. And it's like hard. It's sometimes easy to think that it failed or something happened, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like back to the drawing board. But some of that is just an evolution and that's the reality of it. It's always a gamble.
Yeah. You either evolve together or you evolve apart. That's just the truth of relationships we all have to deal with. But at least if you create a strong foundation, you can take that with you anywhere.
Exactly. I think that is the key, is that you need the confidence of knowing that even if things don't work out, you're going to be okay. And like to get back out there and like keep on your journey kind of thing.
Keep trucking along. And we're going to keep trucking along. We have a question that is related to today's episode. The word narcissism has been thrown around a lot on our show. Because people always curious, am I dating a narcissist? You know, like people always think they're dating a narcissist. So the question is, how can you tell if someone you're dating is a narcissist or just confident? It's a great question.
I do feel like we get questions about narcissists all the time.
All the time.
We'll get them sent to us. There's probably at least one a day in the Facebook group. It's like the buzzword of 2020.
Because it places the blame on the other person.
Yeah.
And then if things don't go well, you just kind of think, oh, it's because they're a narcissist. So it wasn't my fault. I think a major difference between someone who's confident and someone who's a narcissist is how you feel around them. A narcissist will make you feel so little and unimportant and irrelevant. Mm-hmm. But someone who's confident wants to bring you up as well. Confident people want to influence the people around them. They want to lift as they rise. Narcissistic people tend to step on others to make themselves feel more important. And some other definitions of narcissism are people who have an inflated sense of self-importance, mm-hmm. who believe that they're superior to others, who are extremely judgmental, and people who are overly critical of others, because that's exactly the definition of stepping on others to bring themselves up. Mm-hmm. Now, I can see how the two can be similar in the fact that both people can be very solid in their presence. They can probably make a presence when they come into a room. They have a commanding vibe about them and they seem to know exactly who they are. But I would argue narcissistic people are still very lost in their self-identity, mm-hmm. but they deflect by commenting and criticizing other people's journeys so that there's no focus on how lost they are. Confident people are just, they're more humble about the fact that I may still be a little lost, but I'm confident in knowing that and telling people about it.
I think another big piece of it too is, you know, gaslighting always comes with narcissism. Oh, yeah. So if someone says something, and I think conflict's a good way to be able to spot the difference between someone confident and someone narcissistic or whatever your definition of narcissistic is. I think how they react to you bringing something up tells all. If they mm-hmm. gaslight you and say, oh, you're being stupid by thinking this, or it's no big deal, kind of like belittling it versus being like, oh, I didn't realize this impacted you this way. That could take the same statement that whatever was made, one way is more narcissistic and one way is more confidence. Yes. I think the other thing too, it's like confidence. Sometimes I love in this episode, we're going to go into it, but sometimes confidence, you think they have to be like loud and the like boisterous person, like, you know, command the room. And I think there is something called quiet confidence that makes it clear that, you know, this is this is who I am. This is what I need. This is what makes me happy. This is what I can offer. I think all of that is very different than someone that's braggy or self-important. Yes. So I think looking at how that confidence shows up, and it may not be what you like consider quote unquote confidence, the definition that we've been told all these years, but someone that has that silent confidence can be just as confident, if not more confident than the loudest person.
Yeah, you don't need to prove yourself. If you have to ask this question, is the person I'm dating confident or narcissist? I would say you're dating the wrong person because they're making you feel belittled in some way.
I do think, though, we did talk to Dr. Diane on one of our past episodes with love bombing, and she said that only 1% of the population was a true narcissist.
Yep.
So I think, yes, it's a red flag if they're not making you feel a certain way. But I think before we jump and label a narcissist, maybe it is having those conversations and seeing what the reaction is. And if the reaction isn't what you thought, maybe they're just an asshole. I think she had a game like, are they a narcissist or are they just an asshole? They're like your friend was saying with the, you know, the running analogy, like we don't know where any of these people are on their journey. Maybe they're not aware of how they're coming off, or maybe they are fully aware of it. I think that's what you need that's the discovery that needs to happen as you're going through this stuff.
Mm. Yeah, good point.
Okay, so shall we get into some announcements? I mean, we had a big one. The card is now open, findingyourperson.com. We definitely want you to get in there before the spots are taken. Kind of time is at the essence. This will only be available through the end of the week. And we're already hitting the upper limit of the amount of people we can put in the program. So definitely time is of the essence. If this has been something that's been floating, there is payment plan options too. So there's definitely many ways to go about doing this if this is something that you feel like would, you know, help you in life.
Yes, get in on it. And we really appreciate all the DMs you've been sending with your questions. So if you have questions, feel free to do that. Find us on Instagram at Dateable Podcast. We'd be happy to answer any concerns, questions that you have.
Awesome. Other kind of announcements is follow us on Instagram at Dateable Podcast. Good segue to that. And then find us on Love in the Time of Corona by the Dateable Podcast on our public Facebook group. This will not be the same group that you're put into for finding your person. We did have a question about that. So that is our public group. As long as you identify yourself and we think that you're a legit person, you will be allowed into that.
There is a question. Are you a confident or a narcissist? That's a trick question to see how self-aware where you are.
Yes, we'll add that one. Okay, cool. Let's do a quick message from our sponsors.
Confession, I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, if you know, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere, and the best part, they're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets, ultra cooling, and just feels like a 5-star hotel every night. And it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/dateable.
Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally
actually just tried out the laundry tablet. And instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We at Dateable are huge fans of therapy, and BetterHelp can match you with your own licensed therapist and connect you in a safe and private online environment. Me, for example, I was able to start communicating with my therapist in less than 48 hours. It was so quick. Now, BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, and it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling. Their licensed professionals specialize in everything from dating trauma, stress, anxiety, trauma with a big T, depression, grief, you name it, they have someone who's an expert in that. We at Dateable wish for all of you to live a happy, healthy life. And that's why as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/dateable. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, spelled HELP.com/DATEABLE.
Okay, let's hear it for Serena fucking Kerrigan.
And we are so excited to have you with us, Serena fucking Kerrigan, which, by the way, I thought I had a great middle name. And I was like, I wonder if you could actually name yourself with a swear word, and it is completely legal. You can name yourself whatever you want. So you could technically have your middle name be fucking. Did you know that, Serena?
I do know that. But I, you know, it's a stage name, okay?
But this isn't your legal name, right?
I mean, it could be.
I think it should be. My middle name is Yosemite because I made that shit up when I got naturalized. So I was like, change it up. Change it up like it's hair, you know, just like every season. Change up your middle name to a different swear word.
Honestly, like I used to just really introduce myself that with like that with such vigor and confidence that everyone believed me when I started doing it when I was 18 that I just don't even like why go through the paperwork. Like, honestly, I don't need to. Like, it's just like people know.
Well, that is why you're the queen of confidence, because if you own it, then people will believe you. And they're like, of course, that's her middle name. And who is Serena fucking Kerrigan? She is 27 years old. She lives in New York, born and raised, been there her whole life. And she's currently hooking up and having fun, single, actively going on dates. She is the host of the viral dating show, Let's Fucking Date on Instagram, creator of two dating card games, confidence coach, appeared on MTV's Siesta Key, and she's a sex positive content creator. Woo! It's a mouthful.
Welcome. We're so happy to have you, Serena.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's such a pleasure. And let's get started.
Let's get started. How you are the queen of confidence, and we can feel that from the get-go. Were you always this confident, or was this something that you had to teach yourself?
I think everyone's born with confidence, truly. Like, I think if you think about, you know, you on the playground and a kid pushing you, and you know, then you get up and you kind of forget about it. I think that it's really when we're in our, you know, middle school, preteens, that we start to have the self-awareness of who we are in the world that we live in. And I think women especially are, you know, they don't feel pretty enough, thin enough, smart enough. And that's when we start to lose our confidence. And so, yes, like any young female, I was extremely insecure, but it was when I was, you know, 18, I was at a school in college far away from my home. And I really saw an opportunity to reinvent myself and to reclaim who I was. And that was by changing my male name to fucking, which really was a dialogue of pumping myself up, hyping myself up, and nurturing the relationship with myself, which is ultimately what you do to be confident.
Yeah, I feel like you hear people that say, just be confident. And it's like one of those easier said than done. Like, what does that even mean?
The worst worst advice I've literally ever heard. Like, yeah. Ever. Like, no.
So yeah. What do you tell people? Like, what are some like actionable ways to bring that confidence?
So all you need is a reflective surface. It could be a mirror. It could be a puddle on the fucking sidewalk. It could literally just be anything where you see your own image. And the way to do it, I don't really like the whole concept of like affirmations, like just like love yourself, just be confident, like didn't work for me. Like I'm very real and edgy. So I was like, no, I'm going to look at myself in the mirror and treat myself like my best fucking friend. And what would I say to my best friend if she walked into the room and looked fucking amazing? I'd be like, you look so fucking hot. What would I say to my best friend if she got ghosted by a guy? I'd be like, fuck that guy. We only date guys that are obsessed with us. What would I say to my friend if she thought she messed up a job interview? I'd be like, don't worry. There's going to be many more interviews in your life and the right one will work out. Right? So that exact hyping up, nurturing that we do with every single person in our life that we love, we literally do not do it to ourselves. And so my entire brand is about being open, honest, and literally just seeing that person in the mirror as your best friend versus seeing it as you, like literally just seeing it almost as someone else. And that literally mind fucks you into loving yourself.
I mean, I just grabbed my mirror and I was like scared to look at myself in the mirror because it's very fucking close to me. But at the same time, when I feel like when I look in the mirror, all I see is just criticism of myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people are like this. You're looking at where are my pores the biggest? Why do I look so tired today? But then I feel like if I do look in the mirror and it's like, damn, I look fucking good, I feel vain. So what is that line between loving yourself unapologetically and just being so into yourself?
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, we never speak badly about ourselves ever. You're allowed to feel something. You're allowed to feel bloated or you're allowed to feel like your skin's a little dry because feelings go away. But when you say statements like, I am this, I am not good enough, I'm not beautiful, I'm, you know, whatever it be, that is when you decide literally who you are. And so you write the narrative of your life. In terms of this whole concept of women being vain or arrogant when they speak highly about themselves, that is truly misogynistic because confidence is being like on top of a mountain and you feel so good on top of that mountain and you want everyone else who's not on that mountain to come up with you because the view is so good. Mm-hmm. But when you're not on that mountain and you're really low and you start saying things like, I'm so hot, but you're not. Why are you doing that? Because for you to climb up that mountain, you have to push people down, right? That is the difference between arrogance and confidence. It's the difference between being cocky and confident, that confident people want you to be confident with them. They'll be like, I love the shirt that I'm wearing and I love the shirts that you guys are wearing too. We are so fucking hot. We're the hottest people in the podcast scene, right? That is
confident. We really are.
But arrogance would be like, we are so fucking hot and everyone else is disgusting.
Right.
Because why can't everyone be hot? Like, why is it that we have to push people down to lift ourselves up? And I think that the reason why my brand, you know, resonates with people and has taken off is because I'm not afraid. Like, I'm also not afraid of what people think. If people really don't want to take the time to get to know me, and by the way, like changing my mind to fucking, forget it. People always have this. The number one thing I get all the time is like, I thought this about you, but now I'm like, you're so amazing. You're so cool. And you're so nice and soft and gentle. I'm like, yeah, because SFK is for me, but it's not putting anyone else down. You know, like I don't want to be around people that are negative. I just want to lift everyone up because I just don't think you can be truly happy until you love yourself.
I love this like alternative persona that like helped you get there. Mm-hmm. Like, how did you view this? Like, was this kind of like one day you suddenly became SFK and at the beginning it was like a distant person? Like, how did you evolve into who you are?
Yeah. So no, it was so fun. It really became a character. Like I literally, she was a character. She's like this larger than life bitch. Like she literally, like her red carpet is like the sidewalk is her red carpet. Like she's in a ball gown. She's in a pool in the Hamptons. Like she was just like really just character. I honestly built on social media on Instagram because I am artistic and I loved almost writing for her in a way. I've been writing films since I was 15. So it was just this fun thing. And I was her in situations that I wasn't necessarily very confident in. And so it became kind of a crutch for me. Like if I was in a new group of people, I'd be like, I'm Serena fucking Kerrigan. And they'd be like, whoa, right? But it would make me feel so good. So I think that ultimately over time, I was able to actually really separate the character from me. And I tap into her all the time, but like, I don't need her to like, you know, speak in front of a group of people anymore. Like I'm just Serena and SFK is kind of like on my shoulder. Just she's like armor that I've on, right?
It's like Beyonce.
Sasha Fierce, Lady Gaga, Sasha Fierce. All of them, of course. Right. You know, so it's that persona you put on where you're like, I'm a bad fucking bitch. Don't you forget it.
Well, I like it when it doesn't come natural. Like what UA was saying, like, I feel arrogant saying this. So it's like, no, it's actually SFK saying it. And then eventually you get to be like, no, I believe it too.
But also like, it's not. Like we've been taught so many things about ourselves that are untrue. Like
true.
You saying like, I'm a bad bitch. I have an amazing podcast. Why is that arrogant?
We have a really hard time saying that, by the way.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we could really use this.
We're going to do it now.
Okay. Let's do it now. I need some SFK in my life.
You are never allowed to speak badly about yourself. Seriously. Because like everything I wanted is because I've just said like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be this person. I'm going to make this happen. And if it bothers someone, why? Why do people were so get their panties in a twist, for lack of a better term, when I like changed my mailing to fucking? Some people were so offended by that. I'm like, why is an empowered woman changing her middle name? Why does it affect you?
Right.
Why does it bother you? That's a problem. I'm not doing anything offensive. Sure, it's a curse word, but it's not. I'm reclaiming the word as my own, as one of empowerment. And I'm telling you, agents, managers, brands, boyfriends, exes, fuckers, lovers, whatever, all told me get rid of it. And I said no, because it makes me feel good and it doesn't make anyone else feel bad. And I think that over time, everyone was like, damn, you're right. Like, it's an amazing name. Like, done. Like, right. We get it.
Well, it's staying true to yourself and owning it.
100%. And also, it's just like I can't stress this enough. Like, you literally decide your reality in life. Like, you literally write the narrative. You are the writer, director, producer of your life. Mm-hmm. So if you literally write the character of who you are, your podcast, not so great a podcast, sucks though, then that's what's happening.
Right.
But you're
right.
Like, the best podcast in the game, like, you know, run by two incredible women, blah, blah, blah. That's what everyone's going to start to believe.
Right. Well, I mean, everything you're saying clearly impacts all aspects of life. But
everything.
This is a dating podcast, and we think confidence so directly relates to dating, which is why we wanted you on the show. Like, why do you think it's so essential, especially in your love life?
It really spills into everything. And like, that's why, like if anyone who's listening to this, like, take one thing away from today, it's talk to yourself in the mirror. Like, that is the golden fucking rule. And if I, you know, I coached like 150 women during the pandemic, and something that came up a lot was like, it's just like weird. It's like uncomfortable. It's like, you've done so many things that are so much worse. Like, I got an IUD put inside of me. Okay. Like, that was weird and uncomfortable. Okay. Like, you can fucking look at yourself in the mirror and say, I got you. I love you. I'm here for you. Okay. But I think it really relates to dating, because if you don't love yourself, like, you will just ultimately settle for less than. And that is with everything. That is with a job. That is with a friendship. But that is also ultimately, and I know that, you know, dating is a big, big thing. It's with dating as well. I just noticed that if I didn't love myself, I would equate so much of my validation with someone else. If someone wanted to fuck me, then all of a sudden I felt beautiful. And if they didn't, my self-esteem was shot. So I would be accepting, you know, advances from guys not worth my time, crying over men that literally, like, I can't even remember their name, because I was putting so much of my value in their acceptance of me. When you start to love yourself and you feel value through yourself, through your work, through your finances, making your own money, you don't need that. If someone rejects you, it doesn't all of a sudden reconfirm this negative idea you have about yourself, because you have a great idea about yourself.
Right. Like, rejection kind of ceases to exist, because it's like, oh, I only want to be with someone that wants to be with me, that thinks I'm the best fucking person out there. I'm going to start using it all the time now.
Clearly, yes. I don't believe in rejection. I just believe it's the unit. And it's really, it's a true training that you need to have. But like, when someone rejects me or ghosts me or breaks up with me, I really have trained myself to be like, and I'm very sensitive. I'm like Aries, Cancer. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'll do a day of crying, but one day, that's it. But I tell myself, this is the universe being like, no, bitch, hold my wine. I'm redirecting you to something better.
Holds my wine.
Truly. It sucks. And then literally, eventually, you realize, you look back and you're like, of course, that's why we broke up. Oh my God, he goes to me. Apparently, he goes to like every girl he's ever met. Thank God he didn't ghost me when we're like, you know, have a house and kids together, right?
Right.
So you really ultimately just have to see rejection as like, it's okay. There's something better. And also, like, not take it personally. Like, I did a dating show during the pandemic. I did 50 men over the course of 1 year. Incredible. Like, experience. And I didn't end up with any of them. By the way, I'm friends with so many of them. I've kept in touch with them. I've met them in real life after the pandemic dwindled for a minute. And so there's nothing wrong with those men. They just weren't for me. Mm-hmm. I think that when women get rejected, they're like, something's wrong with me. I'm not lovable. I'm not good enough. It reconfirms everything, that all of these insecurities they've had. But no, they just don't like you that much. But that has everything to do with them, not with you.
I do want to talk about the show, because it's so interesting. But I can already hear some of our listeners saying, I am confident. I exude confidence, but that intimidates people so that I feel like I have less choices out there because people are scared to approach me. They're scared to date me. What would you say to them?
I would say, do you want to date someone insecure?
Right.
So thank God the choices are limited, right? Like, I think the one thing with dating is that we actually have too many choices, and that is very overwhelming, that there's just, we can never endlessly swipe. So if you're making your pool smaller, then go you. And if you're making it smaller because you're being true to who you are and you're a strong, independent woman, for example, and it makes, you know, someone insecure, then like, that's just like literally not your problem and also not someone you want to be with. But I also obviously have this issue a lot, and I wouldn't even call it an issue. It comes up a lot. And I also feel like because my social media is this persona, and I've had this actually happen really recently. I went on a couple of dates with a guy and he said, like, I loved getting to know you for you before I like looked at your social, because it's just a different version of you. And I'm like, of course, that's my job. I'm not here overlooking your fucking computer, looking at stocks and bonds while seeing like how you talk on a Zoom. You know, like, I mean, like, it's pretty unfair. Like, you get to see my job in its entirety. And if you can't handle that and you can't see that it's to a persona versus me, then you're literally just not for me.
Right.
But I will say that, like, recently I've been kind of seeing, it's not going to go anywhere, I don't think, but I've been kind of seeing this 32-year-old, right? So first I was seeing a 27-year-old, then I was seeing his 32-year-old. The difference in age was astounding. Like, truly, like, I don't think age equates to maturity, but I do think life experience does. And I do think that heterosexual men tend to become more mature when they're older.
Yep.
Just sort of such a difference. How he said, like, I've dated, like, you know, women that are like a little more submissive, you know, my whole life, or like, you know, just like aren't as go-getter and out there. And like, I love that you are you. And you know, and they weren't intimidated.
Yes. Because they exist. Those guys exist out there. I mean, those women exist out there too. But it is about dwindling down the dating pool so that you can have someone who can match your confidence, energy, and your show. Okay, so let's go through the show for people who've never seen it. Yeah. Walk us through how you came up with it and what is it about?
Well, it's called Let's Fucking Date. It's over now. I did it for all of 2020. I quit my job in February of 2020 to be a full-time content creator. Was not in the dating space at all. Like, at all. I was fully wanted to be in confidence coaching. But the pandemic, you know, happened and I was sitting alone in my apartment, so fucking single and jobless. And I had a lot of experience doing live content. And I felt like something that, you know, would just come very naturally would be starting to go live on Instagram. And a lot of the conversations I'd have, you know, literally downing a bottle of wine in the face with my audience was that I'm really fucking single. Like, how are we going to date? I'm so confused. I'm feeling lonely. This goes against my brand of being empowered and not needing a man, right? Mm-hmm. And really, it was just kind of like, how fun would it be if on a Friday, the day, you know, the night that everyone's supposed to blow steam, but we're stuck inside, I did a show for people and I had a blind date. Or two. And that's really how it evolved. And we did 3 seasons. I sold the entire second season to sponsors for like 6 figures. I created 2 card games based off of the show that you guys can take on dates or if you want to have sex or in groups of friends. But it really created this brand. And I think the main ethos of the show is you have to date yourself before you go
for sure.
And other people. And that, you know, we've really been fed this narrative of like, once you meet your person, you will be complete. And the show really was, you are complete. And like, once you are complete, then you could meet a person or not. Everything's an additive. But I think it was a really great show, of a really great demonstration of an empowered woman who was not going to back down and make herself less intimidating. Like, true to herself, dating in real time, where an audience was very engaged, commenting, interactive. And it was just very authentic because it was live. Like, you couldn't make that shit up, you know?
How did you find the guys? How did you find them?
I hired a producer and it was really like fan submissions.
Nice. I so love fun. This. I mean, clearly not all of our listeners are going to start at Instagram Live. You obviously had that, you know, background. But what I do love about this, I think is very applicable to everyone, is you took your dating life into your control, especially in the pandemic when people were just kind of like, you know, being down about not being able to date and meet people and, you know, frustrated by dating apps. You were just like, fuck it, we're going to do something different. And I think that's like what kind of plays into confidence too, like these bold moves. Like, are there any other bold moves that you've taken that you can kind of attribute to confidence?
My entire
everything.
Brand. With dating specifically. I made a TikTok of me literally last weekend leaving a guy's house, going straight to Pilates at 8:30 in the morning, recorded the whole thing. It went viral, as 1.4 million views. Like, that's what I would do, because I also think, like, that's fucking relatable. Like, people want to see that. They want to see an empowered girl leaving the guy's house in her walk of stride of pride.
Yeah, you know, stride of pride. There you go.
Right, walk of shame's the worst.
Outfit from the day before, going to Pilates, having her friends meet her there. They brought her stuff with her to change into. And she has that post-sex glow, and she's like living her life because she needs to look good, feel good, get fucked, whatever. Like, that is my brand. It's just being unapologetically myself, because, like, I'm sorry, like, we're gonna die. So, like, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care. I want to live my damn life, because I think we are running out of time. And when it came to that pandemic, I'm not someone to sit around and complain. Like, I'm like, if you don't like something about your life, then you have the capacity to fix it or to try.
Right, right.
And, like, I was like, I'm, you know, jobless and single. Like, how can I marry this into something, you know? And it was amazing. But I also wasn't afraid to fail, because I don't believe in failure. It's all about that redirection. Mm-hmm. It's always going to teach you something. So I was like, I'm just going to try this. Let's see how it goes. I did it again. It kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And now it's a whole company that is, you know, mm-hmm. was born out of it. But it was really ultimately because I just am always like, what's the worst thing that can happen? Like, right. You go on a date, like, what's the worst thing that can happen? Like, either you learn something about yourself, what you want in a partner, you get a free meal, free drink, free orgasm. Obviously.
Free, well, sometimes free.
or you write it down in your notes section, and it's all for the fucking plot, and it's right. for your future memoir. But, like, I just don't believe in, you have to live your life, like, live the life.
Right. Let's take a quick break from this convo with Serena to hear a few quick messages.
Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of, like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like I saw on TikTok, and I might be butchering this, there was a video that you had where you just, like, went up to some guy that was sitting near you restaurant.
Iconic.
Walk us through that.
Yeah.
It was literally like, there was a hot guy at a restaurant, and I wrote down, I asked my followers, should I give him my number? And they were like, yes. So I did. I wrote it down and gave it to him. And then I guess, like, we kind of showed him a little bit, like, in the videos, like, on stories. And then someone was like, oh my God, I know him. And then it just got sent him. It was like classic power of the internet. Like, literally, it was like, literally, like, this much, like, a minuscule part of his cheek was in the video. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, 50 girls that know him, and, like, I fucked him, and, like, we know everything. And he ended up texting me, and it didn't go absolutely anywhere. But the whole point was, like, it's for the pot, all for the pot. It's all for, like, be spontaneous, be fun. What's the worst thing that can happen? Right. Never took me out, but I got a great TikTok out of it that went viral.
So. Yeah, you did.
Right. And, like, what's the harm? I feel like people are so afraid to approach in real life. Like, what advice do you have for those people that just would never have, like, the balls to do that?
It is super fucking intimidating. Like, it is. Like, I think I got the waitress to give it. Like, I was even too nervous. Like, it is intimidating. I just think it's, like, whatever. Like, literally whatever. Like, if he never calls you, who cares? Like, think about how many people, like, approach you at a bar, or approach you out, or ask you something at the grocery store. Like, you never think about them. Like, I'm just not self-conscious in that. Like, because ultimately, like, let's say I do something, though, that is a mistake or is offensive to someone or crosses the line. Then I apologize. I take accountability and I move on. But, like, living in fear fear is just like such a waste of life.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a fear of rejection. But again, you were saying if you love yourself. Yeah.
But if you love yourself, it's not rejection. Like, he just didn't like you that much. Maybe he was dating someone. Maybe he just didn't think you were that pretty. That doesn't mean that you're not pretty.
Right.
Like, he doesn't like you. Why is he all of a sudden writing the narrative of who you are? You write the narrative of who you are.
Right.
Not him. So someone else's opinion of you doesn't all of a sudden like erase your identity. And that is so fucking key to understand, you know, because there are people that don't like me, but that does not mean that I'm not likable.
Right.
You know? So I think that that's why, like, you have to nurture, you have to love yourself fully through, and also believe that you will end up in a relationship if that's ultimately what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But people are looking for relationships to validate something about themselves. And that's the problem. It should not be a validator. It should be an additive.
And if people are wondering, that's you because that's your personality, but that's not me. For people who are thinking about that, do you think that anybody can become that if they just keep trying?
I think that you were born with confidence. The problem is it was almost like, you know, it just got kind of tainted over the years. Like, it's gotten like, it's like paint that's cracking. And every time someone made a mean comment about you, every time you saw, you know, a famished supermodel being praised and lauded as the most beautiful person in the world, like, it kept cracking and cracking and cracking. What you need to do is like repaint and redesign. And like, I think anyone in the history of the world has the ability to be confident, because how do we express love to everyone else in our life? Like, how do we make people feel loved? It's through dialogue, through affirmation. It's through that real exchange of like, you're doing great. You're amazing. I love you. Like, that is love, right? Even animal instincts, right? It's like that's how we do it. So why the fuck aren't you doing it to yourself? Because you were taught that if you did it to yourself, you were being vain.
So whether someone is introverted or extroverted, someone who's like, that's just not my personality, you're saying it's not a personality trait.
Approaching a guy at like a brunch in a restaurant, totally get that that's not your personality type. And like, honestly, like, I get it. And like, I haven't done that in a while. So like, that's not what confidence is. Confidence is looking at the girl in the mirror, that reflection, and saying, I love you. That's what it is. I love you. And whenever she's feeling down, I go in front of the mirror. Like, I have videos on my phone, recording, sobbing, being like, you're being redirected. Fuck that guy. That goes everything you'd say to your best friend. So I'm sorry, that's not a personality type. That's like, that is just human being.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like a positive mindset. Like, I feel like when you hear positive mindset, you think like it's like putting things out
like
into the
universe. Like rainbows and like shooting out of someone's asshole. Yeah.
Exactly. No. Like putting things out into the universe, or rainbows shooting out of someone's asshole. I like that even better. It's kind of like woo-woo, like unrealistic. But what I'm hearing from you is it's like just having confidence that things are going to work out for you. Like, how can you do that in a non-cheesy way?
Literally, I mean, like, first of all, follow me on Instagram and I'll show you.
There we go.
Add a couple fuck words and then suddenly it doesn't feel cheesy. But I think it's because when I talk to myself, I just do it like it's my best friend. And so when my best friend like walks into the room and she's really upset about something, I'm not like, oh my God, like, love yourself, queen. I don't say that. I'm like, bitch, shut the fuck up. Like, seriously, like, get a grip. You are stunning, right? That is like, it's just, I think that's why I never liked the affirmation thing. It didn't work for me. That's why I started SFK, because that was me talking to myself, being like, you're starting to fucking care again. Like, go up to that guy, kill that test, crush that final, like, apply for that job. That was what that was.
Right.
And so I just think it's about the dialogue that has been fed to us is like positivity, love, like, like, no, like, it's like, what would you say to your best friend if she was bugging out about something?
Right.
That's what you say to yourself.
And then, so we talked about confidence. We talked about the difference between confidence and being vain. What about being humble? Where does that play? Because I'm asking this question from a cultural standpoint. From Chinese culture, you're really taught not to talk about yourself or to boast about yourself. You're taught to be humble and to not make a splash and to stay quiet. What would you say to the word humble? How do we stay humble?
I just think it's about what we were talking about before, which is like, why am I not allowed to celebrate my accomplishments and who I am in a way that I'm also helping others? Like, my whole brand is really helping women. So like, but why am I not allowed to be like, I, you know, have a really successful business? Like, why? I really think it's ingrained in misogyny and the patriarchy. I really do. I really think it's really directed at women to really make them small. That's really what I think it is. Like, I don't think that me saying like, I'm super successful for being 27 is not being humble. It's just a fact. Mm-hmm. Because I'm also like, I'm super successful, but I have so much more I want to learn. I want to learn from others. Mm-hmm. Like, I respect people in the industry. I'm not acting like I know it all. Like, right. I got this. Like, fuck all of you. That's not what that is.
Right.
It's like the eagerness to learn and to better myself. I think that's really what it comes down to. It's like, I think that you can always keep improving. Like, never stop. I'm so, like, I love astrology, therapy. Like, I love reading, knowledge, like, talking to other women, because I constantly know that I can grow and become a better version of myself. But I think when it comes to like talking about your wins and succeeding and talking about your dreams, like I just feel like we've really been conditioned to just be submissive.
So being humble means celebrating your wins and celebrating the things that you don't know, right?
Yeah.
It's all a celebration and not so much like, here's are my shortcomings.
Right.
It's a party. I think that that's a beautiful, beautiful way.
I mean, I'm just connecting the dots too, because I definitely can see that with women and misogyny, but I could see that also with immigrants too. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, UA, it's cultural. Is that, you know, this feeling of, do I fully belong here or am I seen as lesser than? But it's being like, no, I do. I show up. You know, that's maybe where some of that comes from.
I totally agree. My mom is an immigrant from Argentina. And I think, you know, that we're talking about this, like, yeah, like my mom has had two full careers. And she just barely talks about it. You know, mm-hmm. she barely, so like my, she just got promoted and like I barely know, I knew, like I read it online and I was like, what? So I think like, you know, but it's like, there's also that feeling of like, it's just hard being an immigrant, being a woman. Like, I just think like we are not, the world wasn't designed for us. Mm-hmm. Like, the world was designed for a white man. So it's almost like we're so happy to have a seat at the table that right. we wouldn't mm-hmm. want to, we don't want to be too obvious because right. if not, we won't have
you don't
a seat.
Rock the boat. Yeah.
Right. Right.
But fuck that. Fuck that. That's why women are running their own companies. That's why women are like, I think a lot about like the advertising industry and like social media and influencers and how like, you know, advertising used to be Mad Men. Like men yep. were deciding who was in ads, who was in campaigns, etc. Now it's like, if I'm messaging a brand, I'm like, I love your makeup, I love your cereal, whatever. Like usually 9 times out of 10, it's a woman running that brand's social media account. Mm-hmm. And what happens then? They say to, you know, the head of influencer marketing or advertising, you should work with this person. So all of a sudden now women are dictating representation, who's getting in front mm-hmm. of the screen, getting these big deals. And I just think like that's so important and incredible.
I think that's where there's a shift with dating too, though, because if you look at traditional dating, it was always the man picked the woman and we kind of just like waited passively. And yep. that is happening now. But I think that's why sometimes it's so hard to like psych ourselves up. And again, UA and I are speaking from a woman's perspective. I'm sure men also feel this too in different ways. But I think sometimes like when you get ghosted or you get rejected, it feels so personal because it's like out of characteristic almost in the older days that you wouldn't do that stuff. But I think it actually is a sign. Like before I met my current partner, I feel like I went through a stage where I was getting like rejected, quote unquote, left and right. But I'm like, this actually means I'm trying and I'm doing something. It ultimately, like you said, it led to the person I'm with now. And I'm like, fuck all those people. I'm so glad they didn't work out, you know? So I think some of it's just resetting ourselves as women in dating as well. That's uncomfortable a little.
I think that it really comes down to this. Do you want to be the one who chosen or the one who chooses?
Yes. Right. Why would you want? I think it's like giving so much power to someone else to just be waiting passively. And I think that's the shift that's happening for women.
And I yeah. also think it's like giving so much power. Like I think, you know, and I find myself doing this too, but like we meet someone, we go on a couple of dates, they're amazing dates. And all of a sudden we built them up in our brains. It's like mm-hmm. being like the end all be all.
Right.
It's about really training ourselves to be like, great date, but everyone's the best version of themselves on a date. You know, mm-hmm. chemistry is happens. Like, you know, and realizing like, if it doesn't work out, it just meant that it just wasn't the puzzles weren't fitting together. Mm-hmm. Like it does not right. mean that you were not a good enough piece. It's just like, it wasn't the right fit. It's really, it's hard to do, but it's totally doable. It requires you to kind of repeat it to yourself in the mirror to your best friend.
Right. 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 It's rewiring how you view it for sure. And also it's like, I'm pretty fucking awesome. Like, why is it putting someone else on a pedestal? It's like, they're missing out by not being with me. Like that's the change of statement that needs to happen.
There you fucking go.
It's well, putting the fucking in front of everything just makes it so much better. I feel like it's a culture of the fucking popularity contest that really screwed us over, because we're trying to win people's votes when ultimately, when it comes to our love life, who cares how many people are voting for you? You're the one voting for that one person that you want to be with. So I think it's just making that mind shift is really hard, because it's been so ingrained in our culture that we want as many people to like us as possible.
It's hard, but it's doable. I just, like, again, like, you have to be so careful about how you speak about things. Like, you just said it's hard, so now it's hard. But it's not hard. You can absolutely change it, right? Like, yes, it's been super ingrained in us, but we have the ability as very intelligent, you know, self-aware women to make that switch, to progress. You know, like, I just, like, be very, very careful about, like, the way you speak about things, because they become, like, reality. Whoever said, like, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, like, will never hurt me or whatever. Like, I'm like, bullshit. Like, words have so much weight, and they really, it's just something to really keep in mind, you know, when you're talking about things.
I think that's such an important point, because even if you're the most confident person in the world, and you kind of alluded to this, you can't control if someone ghosts you. You can't control if someone doesn't like you. It doesn't mean that you're never going to face, like, adversity.
What do you mean? It literally happens to me all the time. All the time. And it's like, you will always be rejected. Oh, you're always just going to get rejected. You're always going to get rejected. Someone's always not going to like you, not give you a job, not want to date you.
Right.
You will always be. Like, that is a part of life. So it's about you having the tools to not take it personally.
And if you're not, you're probably not doing anything. You're probably just sitting idle.
Who has time for that?
Nobody has time, but
we're going to die, so.
Because we're going to die, yes. I think that's the motto. Look in the mirror and be like, you're fucking awesome, and you're going to die. So what are you doing?
Get fucking talk. Like, get to it. Yeah.
Get to it already. My goodness. What about for the men? Because I think a lot of the men that we've spoken to also experience confidence issues. And this is the things that we keep hearing. These are the phrases. I tend to idolize women so that when I start dating someone that I become, you know, like, I feel like I need to please her and I don't feel like I can live up to her. Or women are becoming so much more powerful these days and they're making just as much money, more money, and their statuses are changing. How can I up my confidence to, you know, meet them at their level?
I think it's really complicated too, because yes, women making money and being in positions of power is the biggest change in our society, like, ever. Like, it wasn't Instagram, like, it wasn't, you know, it's literally the fact that we can make money and, like, we can provide for ourselves. Like, that's never been a thing. Like, our lives used to literally be getting married. Mm-hmm. So I think that what this does is there is a bit of a shift happening really now, like, right now, where it's like, you know, is paying on the first date for a woman, you know, sexist, or is it expected? Because we don't make as much money as men, so they should. I thought a lot about that time I went to that guy at brunch and I gave him my number and he didn't ever seek me out, because I think that was that going against, like, the grain of being a man, where it's like they are hunters. Like, they need to be the ones, you know, chasing it in the beginning, right? But then people are like, well, that's so sexist of you, Serena. Like, aren't you a feminist? Like, da, da, da. And I'm like, well, like, it's tricky because, like, we're also biologically, like, you know, a certain way.
Exposed,
correct. And so it's really tough to navigate, but I just think, like, ultimately, I think everything just stems through conversation. That is the foundation of any relationship. It's like how well you're conversing with someone and, like, how well you're communicating with them. And, like, are you having great banter? And, like, do you really feel like you can just be yourself? And I was dating these two guys, and one of them, every time he texted me, I, like, actually screenshotted it and sent it to 50 people being like, what do I say next?
And
another guy that I literally, when I say, like, I just, like, didn't even think of it. I, like, texted him five times in a row, like, haha, like, whatever, what are you doing? But, like, didn't care. And, like, who won out? Obviously the guy that I did not like feel any fear, because ultimately I, like, who you're going to be with, like, you have to just be, like, so yourself. Mm-hmm. And if that freaks someone out, then it's just not for you. You know, I noticed that. I was like, wow, like, if I'm feeling anxious or on eggshells about texting someone, then it's probably not going to be my person.
Mm-hmm. Right. Who wants to date that person that you can't do that?
Well, I'm just like, why am I, like, overthinking this so much? But then I realized, like, when it was another guy, like, I wasn't at all. And then we talked a little bit about why we liked each other. And I was like, it's because I literally don't have this like filter that I usually put myself through in fear of ultimately scaring someone away. And I'm saying this as the queen of confidence, like, of course, like we don't know, you know, but I think that ultimately you're going to end up with someone that you can just really just, it just feels really free and easy.
But you know, your brand is all about confidence and you are obviously living and breathing that, but I'm sure there are times that you've experienced setback, whether they're big or small. Can you walk us through the last time you experienced a big setback and you really had to get yourself out of it?
I think it was semi-recently where I went on a couple of dates with a guy and they were really great dates. And like, you know, I built him up in my head so much. And then like work kind of got in the way and we hadn't seen each other. And then I traveled and whatever. And then it kind of like dwindled and it fell apart. And I just like was so upset. Like I was like, this is never going to happen. I did the whole narrative that we all do, which is fucked. But I give myself one day to do that narrative. And then I'm like, okay, literally no more. Like, absolutely not. But like, I did. Like, I was like, oh my God, like, is this ever going to work for me? Like, I'm so such a public persona. Like, is it, was it the social media? Was it like the stopping us on our date? Like, was it, what was it? Like, is it, am I, you know, because everything was so quote perfect. But then like, I realized that like, I didn't know this person at all. And then I kind of started to kind of dig around and ultimately like realize that like, this was not my guy. And like, I actually spent time with him later kind of as a friend vibe. And I was like, whoa, like we're not. Like on like remotely would have ever. And but it was, it's kind of crazy how it's like, you know, you really need to go on other dates. Like I didn't do it. Like I was like, no, like why would I go on other dates? I found someone I like I'm just, but like you have to, because you really just start to like have these really high expectations
for that,
like,
one
you
person
don't know them. And obviously like when you go on a date, you're gonna be your best version, you're gonna be yourself. You're talking about like, you know nothing about one another. So it's like that was like the biggest lesson I learned from that, was like you have to force yourself to go on other dates. Like that was a pretty tough one for me. Like it really rocked me. Like the anxiety, the vulnerability of like not knowing. And ultimately, like if you're crying that much and you're so anxious and after 2 dates, like, I don't know if that's your person. It shouldn't be.
Right. Like, they shouldn't make you feel that way.
Like it shouldn't be confusing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And like, once you find that person that isn't confusing, it puts everything else in perspective. Yeah,
for sure. I felt confused. And if he likes you, you'll know. If not, you'll be confused. Right. But like, it's not even like that he didn't like me. Like later I heard that he thought I wasn't really into him, whatever. But again, like, see, like if there was that much miscommunication and confusion about how we felt and in from the get-go, then like it just wasn't it. But it was really like a big lesson in that, like, like you really don't know someone after 2 dates. Like, I'm sorry, you don't.
You really don't.
We always hear people that are like so butthurt after, you know, meeting, like going on a couple dates. And it's like, how many hours did you really spend with this person?
Like, none.
None.
Yeah. You're just attached to the future potential of that person that you fucking made up in your head. That person doesn't really exist.
Yeah. Right. So I think it's really the way to really like go against that is just by dating more people. Cause then you'll see like there's a lot of other people out there and it just like sends other energy. It just sends energy out, like good energy, I think.
Right. Mm. Or at least managing the expectation to yourself that I do not know this person. And, you know, if it turns into more, fantastic. If it doesn't, I had a great life before and I'll be able to pick myself up and continue that life.
Totally agree.
Okay. This is kind of a two-parter, but we have, you know, a subset of different audience here. We have people that are single that maybe aren't super happy being single right now. I guess we'll start with those folks. Like, what are some ways that you can kind of thrive and feel confident if you're maybe in a place that you don't necessarily want to be life stage wise?
I just like don't know like why, like why does it upset you that you're not like that you're single? Like what is it? Because ultimately like I feel like that's when you are truly happy and dating yourself, that is when you find someone. But if you're so unhappy about like not being committed to someone and you can't figure it out, and like that's just like anxiety and energy you're putting out into the world and you're not going to receive it.
Right.
You need to, you don't chase, you attract. I mean, the guys that I have dated in the past year, like love that I'm way too busy. Like, I'm doing a million things. Like, I have a career. I have friends. Like, I can't see you. Sorry. They love that. And they want to date me even more because they want to date a woman who is empowered and independent and doesn't ultimately like really them. So I just feel like if you're putting out the energy of like, I'm single, like no one wants to date me. Like that's the narrative that you're writing for yourself.
Right.
If you're like, I'm single, I'm happy, I'm living my best fucking life. If I meet someone, great. If not, I'll be fine. That's the narrative you're writing. And that's what will ultimately like give you success.
Totally. Okay, so that's like a good lead into the second part. What happens when you're now with someone and you don't want to lose yourself in the process? Like, what kind of advice would you have for those folks?
I really think it's about maintaining your life the way it's like that. You know, I think it's normal in the first, whatever, couple months. Like, yeah, like it's that honeymoon stage and, you know, it's exciting. You're getting to know them. But I really think it's about, like, you know, not altering the course of your schedule for them. Like, I really think it's like you go to the gym every day at 8:30. Like, why are you stopping doing that? Like, okay, right, maybe once, but like a relationship is an additive. It adds on. It doesn't replace.
Very good.
Like my best friend, she's been in a relationship for a while and like I didn't lose her. And like I know a lot of people that I did feel I lost them, but I didn't lose them, like, because she kept doing her own thing, going out. If he came, great. If not, he'd meet him, like maybe she'd meet him later or maybe not at all. They would see each other a lot on the weekends, but not really during the week. Mm-hmm. Really maintained control over her life. And that's why I think they're really successful. I think that the codependency is that's a red flag.
Mm-hmm. I think not losing your life is so important. You need to make room for someone for sure. But I think like for me, I definitely have been super conscious of that, like making sure that like you don't lose friendships and stop that, because like I hate situations where it's like I was living this life until I met someone. Like that means you weren't confident in your life before that.
Well, that's what the whole thing about like you complete yourself. Yes. You were born into this world alone. You're going to die alone. And ultimately, I think that we don't really like celebrate friendships the way we do relationships. No. It's insane, because I would actually probably rather raise a child with like half of my friend group than like a brand new
child. Oh, right. It's like I've known you for 15 years, you know?
So I think it's really about like my friendships are my everything, and that would never stop, you know, if someone came into my life, because they're an additive.
That sounds like a great takeaway. Should we get into some takeaways?
Yeah, I feel like there's been so many from this conversation.
What I'm hearing is this idea of being bold comes with two questions. Why not me and why not today? So at all of these circumstances and situations we find ourselves in, cute guy sitting at the table next to us, or and me not liking my food that's been delivered to me at this restaurant, why not me to tell that person or to approach that person? And why not today? Why don't I start that today? And I think that's what comes with the boldness. You can have the confidence, but the boldness is what is the action that comes out of the confidence. So I really appreciate that, because I think that gives me a little like lights a little fire under my asked to do the things that I've been meaning to do. And also celebration is so important. There was this great interview with Brené Brown, and she says one of the highest levels of vulnerability is celebration and joy, because we're so afraid to do it. We feel like if we feel joy and we become happy that someone's going to take that away from us.
Oh yeah.
But I think what I'm hearing from you, Serena, is when you celebrate and you feel that joy, you bring others with you and you kind of just all bring that energy together. So instead of thinking about being depleted, you're just going to have more abundance of it. And the very last takeaway is I got to think of an alter ego. I got to think of this, you know, maybe it's Yosemite. Like when Yosemite comes out.
I like it.
Right? Yosemite is going to be my best friend, my biggest cheerleader on my shoulder in any given situation. And what would Yosemite do in this moment in time? So I'm going to bring Yosemite with me. Thank you for resurrecting Miss Yosemite for me.
I love it. I can't wait to meet Yosemite. Party with Yosemite.
You might like her more than me.
I need an alter ego also. I'll TBD on what the name will be. But I feel like it's a cliched line, but it's so true that like you are the main character. I think it's so important, because this whole part about like, would we treat ourselves this way? Yeah. And like, that's the way to positivity and to start looking at your life. It's a little morbid to be like, this could be our last day on earth, but it is a good way to look at things, because it's like even the mundane things of your life, or if you're not happy with your life, that gives you permission to be like, what do I need to change to make things go my way? Mm-hmm. I think the piece of just waiting in the passenger seat for things, and some of that could be cultural, or some of it could be just, you know, the way that society has told us. Like, I think that is a time that we need to reimagine and take things into our own hands if things aren't the way we want them to be. So it's all action, but positive action, which I think is so important.
I mean, I fully agree.
We're just regurgitating your words. That's all.
I think that like seeing your mortality sexuality as morbid is just like, we're all dying. We're all going right. to. So instead of seeing it again as a negative, why don't you just see it as what something to motivate you to live your life unapologetically and as the main character. I was the main character before all this main character stuff was on TikTok. Like that was has been the main character, right?
Right. I think those with social media and comparison, so many times we're like, this person can do this or this person, and it's like, exactly. And I think it's so important, especially with dating, to refactor that conversation of like, hey, I'm a fucking catch. This person would be lucky to be with me, opposed to putting someone else on a pedestal all the time.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
And I think it was helpful to hear, like, not that I'm obviously wishing you bad luck in dating or anything to happen, but I think it's helpful for people to hear that even the most confident of people are going to experience a setback. That's just natural. But it's how you handle it, right?
It's the same way. I love my mom. She's literally my best friend. But sometimes I don't like her. Like sometimes I don't like the things that she does, right? I don't like something that she does. So it's like you can be a super confident person and love yourself. And on some days you don't like this action that you did. Yeah. You don't like how you behaved in that moment, or you don't like that you like could not stop eating ice cream and junk food, right? You're allowed. Those are moments that are going to occur. That doesn't all of a sudden like mean that you're not a confident
person. Right. Right.
And it's like, how do you learn from them? And how
kindness. It's just being kind.
Kind to yourself. That's the ultimate takeaway.
So Serena, if people want to stalk you, get to know you better, is social media the best way to do it?
Please do not come to my apartment. Yes. Follow me on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Serena Kerrigan, and Let's Fucking Date. I have an amazing card game for dating and fucking, and you can buy it on letsfuckingdate.com.
Fabulous. Amazing. And we can catch all three seasons on social media, on Instagram.
Yes, you can.
Great. Yeah. That's awesome to know. Well, thank you so much for being here, and thanks for sharing your confident energy. I feel like you are contagious in a good way, not in a COVID way, and I feel like I'm feeling the confidence, that abundance of energy. I love that you're saying when you're confident, you bring other people into that confidence sphere instead of pushing other people down. So I think I'm going to live that on a daily motto basis. I feel like that is just so compelling to hear. For all of our listeners, what boosts our confidence is more reviews in Apple Podcasts, because the more 5-star reviews we get, the more awesome guests we can get, like Serena fucking Kerrigan here. So please, if you have 5 seconds in your day, just go into Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars and like a little bit of a confidence booster, just 1 or 2 lines about how awesome we are, because we know we are awesome. As of today, we are fucking awesome, but you know, we want to hear from you too. Okay, so we're going to wrap this up.
Stay Dateable and confident.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @DateablePodcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag #StayDateable, and trust us, we look at all those posts. Then head over to our website, datablepodcast.com. There you'll find all the episodes, as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Why series, where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.